Our team here at SOS Radio is always looking for new ways to connect with you.
Scott Harold's podcast features deeper, uncut discussions with authors and artists every week.
When my daughter's with me, she loves listening to it.
If you like it, give it a 5-star rating.
I sure will.
I'll do that.
It helps new people find the discussions online.
Can you imagine what it would be like to spend your days actually doing something that brought you joy in your work? And it's possible. And we're talking with author, entrepreneur Jordan Rayner today on SOS Radio. How are you?
I'm great, Scott. How are you?
So you're a master of one. You really dig into how we find and focus on the work we're created to do, not just go and do menial tasks to get paid. That's the heart of really finding a calling.
That's exactly right. That's what this book is all about. Throughout my career, always described as a jack of all trades and a master of none. And actually, I have no problem being a jack of all trades. I think that's the inevitable byproduct of discerning your calling. But I do have a big problem being described as a master of none. You know, as a Christian, I believe the essence of life is to glorify God and love our neighbors as ourselves. And we do that at work when we do our work exceptionally well, being imitators or image bearers of God's character of excellence. You know, I think the opposite of mastery is mediocrity, and mediocrity is nothing short of a failure of love. So, you know, how do we solve the problem of being masters of none? What's the alternative? I would argue the solution is being a jack of all trades and a master of one, finding the one thing that God has created us to do most exceptionally well in our work and doing it primarily for his glory and the good of others. And then in turn, finding vocational joy for ourselves.
We're talking about digging into our passions and the giftings that God's wired us up for with author Jordan Rayner today at SOS Radio. Jordan, you're an entrepreneur. So many people, they view work as a burden, as something they just try, or they just go in to get paid. You know, my dad used to joke around and said, you know, they call it work because they have to pay you to go there.
Yeah.
God's wired us up a little differently, though. When you think about the universe that we're in and the roles that we play and how he has a passion for each of us, he loves each of us, he has grace for each of us, it also extends to where our identity is, and it never goes into our job. Our identity's in him.
Yeah, so I think all of us exist on somewhere along a spectrum of what we believe the meaning of work to be. So what you're describing with your dad, and my dad said similar things to me, they were on the extreme left side of that spectrum, believing that work was a meaningless means to an end. I go to work to get a paycheck to move on to the truly meaningful things in life. And the Bible doesn't support that, right? We got to remember that work was a part of perfect Eden, pre-sin. Sin happened after God created work and created Adam and Eve to cultivate the garden, right? So work is not meaningless. But then it's also not going to provide us with ultimate meaning in life. That's the other end of the spectrum, right? So on the left side, expecting too little meaning from our work, and on the far right side, expecting cosmic meaning from our work and expecting our work to provide this ultimate sense of self-worth. And as Christians, we know that's not true either, right? That can only be found in the person of Jesus Christ. So I think we have a right relationship to our work when we view it for what it is, as a good thing, not an ultimate thing, that is meant to be done in service of God's glory and the good of others. And when you have that frame of mind, I think you could start getting down this path to mastering the work you were created to do for God's glory and the good of others.
God designed work for a specific purpose for each of us. And I'm Scott on SOS Radio. We're talking with author and entrepreneur Jordan Rayner today at SOS. Jordan, as you've studied work, you've started companies, you've built companies yourself, you've written books. And what have you learned ultimately about identity when it comes to work?
Yeah, I think a lot of times in the church, we hear from pastors that work shouldn't be a part of our identity. And maybe we're talking semantics here, but I actually don't think that's right. I mean, work is such a crucial part of who we are, right? In Genesis, the first characteristic God reveals to us is that he's creative, that he was a working God, an entrepreneurial God, I would argue. That's what we see in Genesis 1 and 2. That's a part of who he is and his identity. So work is a part of our identity. I think where we get tripped up is when work becomes the core of our self-worth, right? If my venture as an entrepreneur fails, I have failed. I am worthless. And that's not true. Because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we can look to Scripture and say, you know what? Regardless of success or failure, I am secure. My ultimate sense of worth is secure because of who Christ says I am through the work he did on my behalf on the cross. And that assurance, right, should make us Christians the boldest entrepreneurs and culture makers and workers on the planet. Because at the end of the day, we truly have nothing to lose as we risk to bring bold, creative, beautiful new things into the world.
We've all been working through fresh goals this month, and with each new year, we sort of reflect on what we did last year, what we accomplished, maybe where we fell short, and we reevaluate where we are. And we're talking with author and entrepreneur Jordan Rayner today on SOS. And Jordan, you say early in your career, it's tough to know what you'll be gifted at until you actually start putting those gifts to the test in the real world. Could you share a few examples of how this experimentation has worked in your own career?
Yeah, so in Master of One, I help readers find, focus on, and master the work they were created to do. But in order to do that, you got to experiment widely, right? You can't know what you're going to be great at and what's going to be worth committing to until you experiment widely. And so when I was in college, I experimented a ton, right? So I had a different internship every semester. I had a bunch of part-time jobs. I played piano at a wine bar. I did an internship at the White House. I woke up every morning to work for a tech startup. So a lot of little bets. And in the book, I outline five principles of effective experimentation in your career that can work if you're in college or if you're 40 years old and you're staying in corporate America and wanting to do something different with your career. So real quickly, those five principles are: number one, place little bets as you experiment. Number two, temporarily embrace being the Jack or Jill of all trades. Number three, fail fast. Number four, go wherever you will learn the most. And number five, through all this experimentation, keep your quote unquote one thing in mind. Experimentation is a means to an end of finding the work that we can do most masterfully well for the glory of God and the good of others.
You know, it's so interesting about being a master of one, Jordan. You're sharing your story in that. And that's exactly how it played out for me, too. And when I was in high school, my high school had a radio station. And so I was doing that in high school. I never thought I'd be doing this as a career 20-something years later, right? But when I went into college, I had a part-time job at this alternative rock radio station in Detroit. And my boss had asked me, okay, Scott, what are you going to study in college? I said, oh, maybe I'll study communication. And he said, you know what? Don't waste your time. You've already got your foot in the door here at the radio station. You're learning that here. This is a trade. And so why don't you study computers or business and then couple that with what you learn here in this job? And then you could do radio, maybe get into management and things. And so I actually did that. I got a marketing degree. I'd started working in the promotion department of the radio station in addition to some of the on-air stuff. And I thought that was fun. And then I ended up getting a job marketing pet products for PetSmart.
Interesting.
And I did that for a while. I started to kind of walk away from radio. And I'm like, okay, this is kind of interesting. Radio is interesting. And I remember I was in a men's group with, you know, like an accountability group with a couple other guys.
Yeah.
And we were talking about things. My friend's like, oh, how was work? And I was like, oh, you know what? We hit our quotas this month. We're getting our bonuses. We sold all these extra, you know, pallets of cat litter this month. And, you know, so that was awesome. So I made some, I made a few extra grand on that. So that's pretty cool. But then he would ask about other things, and I'm like, oh, man, I was working at the radio station the other day, and Dave Matthews came in, and we had him on the morning show. We're interviewing him, and I was listening to him. They're just jamming, like, four of us in this room. And my friend said, why are you marketing cat litter? Why are you marketing pet products? You come alive when you talk about music, and you talk about, you know, just the interaction. And like, you just need to stop marketing pet products and do radio. You might be okay at that. You might even be good at that, but your passion's over here. And that was just like a light came on for me and changed the trajectory of where I was focusing my career.
I love that story. And if you have that type of passion, you're going to be able to do that work exceptionally well. And that is what I believe we're called to. We are not called to mediocrity. We are called to mastery, because work is one of the ways in which we reveal the character of the God we're called to image and love our neighbor as ourselves. When you're telling that story, you remind me of Eric Little in Chariots of Fire, right? When he is the Olympic runner and he tells his sister, you know, when I run, I feel God's pleasure, right? That's what I envision you as at that men's group, lighting up, talking about radio. You feel God's pleasure when you know you are in the sweet spot of how God has uniquely designed you, and you know you're doing that work that you can do most exceptionally well in service of others. And when we do that, we find that deep satisfaction of vocation and feel God's pleasure.
We're reflecting on our passion and how it actually leads to finding our sweet spot, especially when it comes to our work and the things that are meaningful to us. I mean, it's a new year. We're talking to Jordan Rayner. He's an author and entrepreneur. Jordan, you've started businesses and you've grown businesses, but in your research, as you were putting together this new book, Master of One, you interviewed a lot of people in different roles to see how they discern their calling to actually become a master of their craft. I mean, what was the biggest takeaway for you?
It's shocking how consistent the questions are that world-class masters ask when discerning their calling. And I don't think these questions are going to be rocket science to anybody. I think we naturally ask these questions as we seek to find the work God created us to do. Here they are. Number one, what am I passionate about? Number two, what am I gifted at? What gifts has God given me? And number three, where do I have the best opportunity to glorify God and serve others? And I expand in the book nuances of those three questions. But I think that number one insight that is maybe a little bit unique in this book is the focus on the second question of what gifts has God given me. You know, I think millennials, including myself, grew up hearing adults in our lives basically tell us to focus exclusively on the passion, right? Follow your passions, follow your dreams, do whatever makes you happy. And passions are important, but focusing exclusively on them is terrible, terrible advice, right? Put simply, it doesn't work. Millennials have had more opportunity to do whatever makes us happy vocationally than any other generation, and we're less happy at work than any generation before us. And in the book, I cite a bunch of different academic studies to show why, right? Consistently, when you study this question of what leads people to discern, to call their work a calling instead of a job or a career, it is not whether or not they were passionate about the work before they started it. It was the number of years they had spent practicing and honing that craft. So passion is a side effect of mastery. We need to love what we do by getting really good, right? Master of One is all about focusing on, yes, ask the passion question, but focus more intensely on that gifting question. Find the work you can do most exceptionally well, because that's what's going to lead to the most vocational joy.
Yeah, it's interesting. Malcolm Gladwell talks about it like a 10,000 hours rule. Yep. When you do anything for 10,000 hours, you become a master. You become a professional. And what's funny about that is you think about, okay, I've got this, right? But on that journey, you would never get to the 10,000 hours if you didn't have some sort of passion or you weren't doing some sort of meaningful work. Like, if you hate golf, why would you play it for 10,000 hours?
Yeah, that's exactly right. There's got to be some seedling of passion. What's interesting, though, about the 10,000-hour rule is, you know, Malcolm Gladwell cited this Florida State University professor who originally came up with that study, and Gladwell got a big piece of this wrong, right? So it's not just 10,000 hours of practice. It's 10,000 hours of what this professor calls purposeful practice, right? Which is very different from the practice that most of us do in our work.
So let's talk about that purposeful practice for a minute. Yep. Like, as you're going through something where you have a job where you feel like you're doing a lot of menial tasks and you're doing it because it's what your boss has asked you to do, but it's not something that gets you excited. Maybe even it's something that grinds on you for 40 hours a week, but you do it because you're providing for your family. How do you get to a point where you can actually wrap your heart around purposeful practice in a situation that just doesn't feel interesting in this season?
I think, one, we got to recognize that wherever we're at, wherever God has placed us in our careers, he's put us there. And work is a gift. And a lot of days, it doesn't feel like that, right? But we are called to do excellent work regardless of where we are. That said, if you hate your job every day, you may want to consider finding something else that you can do. Or we find this a lot with young people, right? A lot of young people enter a job and expect for it to provide cosmic happiness on day one or month one or year one. It just doesn't happen that way. Right? It takes a long time to get good at something, can have this deep satisfaction of vocation. The four components of purposeful practice, right? So wherever you're going today, maybe you're driving in the car, going into work, this is what distinguishes purposeful practice that leads to mastery versus naive practice. Number one, set specific goals. Number two, intensely focus on the work that you're doing right now, eliminate distractions, eliminate push notifications, all those things. Number three is rapid feedback. And number four is frequent discomfort, right? Masters are never satisfied. They always believe the better is possible. They're always putting more weight on the bar, right? Mastery is not a destination.
So if you want a breakthrough this year, maybe your goal isn't about adding new things to your life. Maybe it's more about saying no to some things. And we're talking with author, entrepreneur Jordan Rayner today at S-Swiss Radio. Jordan, the life of Jesus is one we actively try to model. And there's a lot of times Jesus says no to unnecessary things. And there's some times where Jesus says no to things that are important, but he's seeing the greater truth in things and saying, I'm saying no to this for this season so I can embrace this bigger truth right now. You talk a lot about that in your new book.
Yeah, one of the main themes of the book is that if we're unwilling to say no to the non-essential things in our life in order to focus on the work that we feel called to master, we're basically holding back selfishly the contribution that God has called us to make in the world. And I think Jesus modeled this really well. There's a great scene in Mark chapter 1 that illustrates this. Jesus had a particularly productive day. He drove out demons from the man in the synagogue. Then he went to Peter's mother-in-law's house, healed her, and then healed a bunch of other people in the town. Everybody went to bed, and the next day, the whole town shows up at Peter's mother-in-law's door and is asking for Jesus. They want him to, you know, do some more healing on day two, and Jesus isn't there, right? And so the disciples go and find Jesus. He's off by himself, and they say, hey, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. And in Mark 1, verse 38, Jesus says, quote, let us go somewhere else so I can preach there also. That is why I have come. So Jesus didn't come just to heal people or just to reveal his identity. I mean, his most essential mission was to preach the gospel in word and deed. And he was crystal clear on his purpose, on that one thing that he was called to do on this earth. And that let him say no a lot to good things. I mean, healing people was a good thing. I think we can all agree. I think we could all agree that Jesus probably had a desire to heal more people on day two. But even as Jesus, fully God and fully man, he understood that there are natural limits that time and attention place on our ability to do the work that God created us to do. And so if Jesus can't say yes to everything, man, neither can we. And we need to ruthlessly eliminate anything from our lives that is non-essential so that we can master the work God created us to do.
That's good. So rich. We're talking to Jordan Rayner today at S-Swiss Radio. He has a brand new book. It's called Master of One, Find and Focus on the Work That You Were Created to Do. Thanks for spending some time with us today, Jordan.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Scott.
You're clear to go.
Thanks for downloading the SOS Radio podcast. If you enjoy the discussion, give it a 5-star rating in your app store.
The way the technology works, your ratings really help spread the word.